This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Anthony Cumia is here. His new book out, Permanently Suspended, The Rise and Fall and Rise Again of Radio's Most Notorious Shock Jock. Congratulations on writing that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's something I think everybody at one point goes, I probably got a book in me. And with everything that's gone on in my life and in the radio career, absolutely, there's at least one.
At least one in your ghostwriter who was able to get this book out, right? That was not... Just kidding,
yeah.
I know you wrote it. Come on.
No, you know, it's one thing to be able to come up with the stories, but then, you know, try to format it and put it in the way a book is supposed to be written, you know. That,
spell
that
check and
tough.
Whatnot, you know.
Right. Need a little help.
You know, it's really great. I was thinking about this, too. You've had an incredible career. You've been fired a bunch of times for doing some pranks, which I think are still radio legends. I mean, they're legends. The whole thing with everybody knows about the April Fool's Day joke is every year we get an email from corporate saying, don't do any April Fool's jokes. It's
yeah,
every like clockwork.
We put the kibosh on that whole thing.
That, of course, is the infamous one where you said the mayor of Boston was dead. So
yeah, and they took it seriously, you know, because we were on a rock station that was pretty much 18 to 24 year old kids listening to it, and that's where you go for your hard hitting news.
Right, of course, obviously. And you got in a ton of trouble for that, and then there was a whole thing in a church with people consummating
their
love for each other in a church.
Yeah, another one of those stunts. You know, it's one of those things. Back in that time in radio, there were shock jocks, and you were always trying to top your last thing that you did, your last stunt, and management loved it. They would, you know, maybe slap your wrist in public, but then pat you on the back when the ratings came in. So you just kept trying to outdo yourself, and you'd get to a point where finally, when you went, as they said, too far, they'd throw you out. But they loved it when you were getting the ratings, and before people would complain or threaten a boycott or something like that. So we were doing exactly what we were paid to do, and we got fired for it.
You got fired for it, but you also had made a lot of money doing it, too, which is good. I mean, you did. You succeeded at a time when a lot of people were getting out of the business. You stayed in. You kept going, which is great.
Yeah. We the timing was impeccable. I mean, we got to a point where we were making a boatload of money because they didn't want us going to another station and competing with Howard Stern, who was in the same company as us, CBS Radio. So the timing worked out great. We made a boatload of money and had a great time doing it. No regrets there.
Anthony Cumia is here. His book, Permanently Suspended, which is a really cool read, especially if you're a radio geek like we are, and we love this stuff. Absolutely. All right, now let's talk about Howard Stern for a second, because he was an influencer, you know, for you guys to get into radio, you and your former co-host. We'll talk about him in a second. And then you loved Howard, and then you were competing with Howard, but you were competing with him at a different time in the day for a while. So how did that all work?
Yeah, it was so strange. We were working for the same company. We were doing afternoons, and of course Howard was in the morning. But there was just something, I think he thought, I can't really let these guys get traction. We had seen him destroy personalities all over the country once he got
syndicated. Here in Philadelphia, for example.
Yeah, DiBella got massacred in Philly. It was hilarious and tragic to watch it happen. So being a fan for as many years as I was, I knew there was a way you dealt with that. You didn't come into a market and just say, well, screw him, he's terrible. Because the fans go, well, no, how about screw you? I've been listening to him my whole life. So that didn't work. You had to chip away at him a little bit just by kind of goofing on him in a fun way, calling out little hypocrisies. And the fans loved it because you were actually acknowledging that you listened to him and you knew all his little idiosyncrasies. So when you'd make jokes or do an impression of him, they loved it. So we shared a lot of the same audience. His audience in the morning would listen to us on their way home in the afternoon. And I think he took that as kind of some kind of threat. I knew we wouldn't go on in the mornings and beat Howard Stern, but all we would have had to do was take away enough listeners to make him number two instead of number one, and they would have lost a lot of money. So the goal was to keep us under that CBS umbrella and tell us not to bother Howard. But we certainly did. We took our shots at him. He took his at us, but as far as a personal thing goes, I never had an issue with him personally. We all did very well, so who can complain?
I still remember when you were making fun of, you're doing your impression of Howard for inventing radio.
Yeah. On Letterman, Letterman, of course, a big fan and friend of Howard over the years, and when me and Opie went on David Letterman, I did the Howard impression, and I just talked about how everyone's ripping him off, because that was the big thing.
Right.
You know, walking was me, Robin. That was all me. I invented walking. The whole thing, one foot in front of the other, locomotion, me, ripping me off. And it went over really well. Dave was laughing. The people liked it. So it was things like that that you could do. You can't just say, don't listen to him, he sucks, because people aren't going to listen to that. Especially if they're fans. But coming from being a fan, I pretty much knew how to goof on him and have fun with it, where his fans and our fans would really get a kick out of it. So it seemed to work. We did pick up a lot of his audience.
And you also battled the FCC, as he battled the FCC. Different world now. I mean, I got to tell you, Ajit Pai, the new chairman, he seems to leave everybody alone, which is great. He's a small government guy. He's a Trump guy, so that's good. But it wasn't always like that. And the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, they had it out for shock jocks for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I look at the FCC rules and regulations now nostalgic. I'm nostalgic about it. They're quaint. They're cute. I wish it was, you got to steer away from these words and certain content, and if you don't, you'll have to peel off some money for a fine. Because nowadays, they will throw you out of your career. And it's not the FCC. It's everyone else. We're all little rats. Everyone's a rat with their phone and sending it off to people and being offended to the point where the Federal Communications Commission isn't even a thing anymore that anyone really worries about. Yeah, for a time, especially after the Janet Jackson thing, and they raised the fines tenfold, and everyone was petrified to say something that the FCC would have gotten you for. But now it's not even the FCC. It's something you tweeted 10 years ago. So, you know, there's really no rhyme or reason to how you can prevent getting in trouble in this day and age. And I think it's curtailed a lot of creativity on the air, where jocks used to take chances. They're not even allowed to anymore. A lot of radio guys are just told to sit down, read the liners, read the spots, get back into music, and shut up. Whatever you do, don't say anything controversial. And it's petrified the companies, the owners, the GMs, PDs, and the personalities. So it's impossible to do personality-driven radio on regular airwaves and even satellite radio at this point. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, we get it. It's easier for us in talk radio. And certainly when you're doing political talk radio, you're going to be offensive. For example, I think the hashtag MeToo movement has made things even more complicated for people, because they're going to find out in my past I once asked a girl out on a date, which is ridiculous. I mean, how dare I? You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. How
exactly
dare you?
I know.
We used to have what was called game. When you'd go out and have to cold call a girl at a bar stool and just walk up to her and start a conversation, that's a lost art at this point. And now, not only is it a lost art, if you did do it, it would be considered some type of sexual offense.
you'd have to go to re-education camp for sure.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. So you got the book out, Permanently Suspended. You got, you know, tell us what you're doing radio-wise, TV-wise, because I know you got the whole Compound Media thing.
Yeah. After I got the boot from XM, Sirius XM back.
And tell us why, by the way. Why'd you get fired from them?
Oh, from tweets. Yeah. I was walking around in Times Square. I got smacked around a bit by some large woman that was walking around. And I dared. Yeah, I didn't raise a hand. I didn't do anything. But I dared to tweet about it. And, you know. I had to go. They thought my tweets had a what they called a violent tone to them.
Mm.
The truth of the matter is, I was legally carrying a gun at the time. I have a New York City full carry pistol permit, and I tweeted the fact that I could have shot her in the face,
right.
But I didn't. I didn't do anything.
It's great
like
restraint,
that.
If you
I'm
ask me. You know, yeah.
As far as that's concerned, so I and they said, "Oh, that's a very violent undertone." Yeah, tweeting about it is doing nothing physically, actually doing nothing, but then voicing my displeasure with the situation. That's a problem now. It's astounding the topsy-turvy, bizarro world we're living in nowadays. So I got together with my buddy Keith, and we decided I had a studio in the basement that I'd been doing my own video webcast on for years, just as a hobby. I enjoy the medium. And he's like, "Hey, you got this studio down there. Why don't you fire it up? We could get on the air and have you up and running in a month." So we did that, kind of like a lifeboat. And eventually a lot of other people and shows and talent came over and said, "Yeah, this is really cool. I like what you're doing here." So we have about 10 shows on now, and it's growing all the time. And Knockwood, it's turned out to be an amazing, freeing experience. Anything we want to talk about, we can talk about in any language. I'm an absolutist with the First Amendment. I think everyone has a right to be heard, no matter how repulsive people might find what they say. And I think the answer to that is a debate, lively debate, not silencing people like the left loves to do. They love silencing opposition when I love being able to discuss it, no matter how, like I said, repugnant someone's viewpoint is. There's always an opposing argument that you can make that makes them look kind of silly or stupid or irrelevant, whatever it is. But that's the way you handle speech that you don't find pleasant. You don't try to silence it.
Yeah, but the left hates the First Amendment. Who are we kidding? They hate it. They want hate speech laws. They'd love to put you and I in prison for what we say. We trigger people, you know?
Yeah, we trigger people. I was watching some videos of, I guess, Portland over the weekend, and Antifa was having a little fun up there. And their whole opinion of free speech, they just don't get it. They're like Comic-Con cosplayers. They dress up and bring shields, and it's so embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. They're yelling about nothing. They don't even know why they're out there. They're emotionally disturbed, childlike thinking, and it's there's no arguing with it. You just really have to wait them out until, I guess, they grow up and get that first paycheck and scream about the taxes coming out of it.
Yeah, that they're not paying enough.
Right. Yeah.
The book is great. It's Permanently Suspended, The Rise and Fall and Rise Again of Radio's Most Notorious Shock Jock, and, of course, Anthony Cumia. All right, let me ask you this now. First of all, two questions. Number one, you're off Twitter for life, right? You've been suspended so many times, that's it. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah, the thing is, I use Twitter for show prep. Twitter has the news on it before the news has it. So I've made another account, but I just don't publicize that it's me. I follow all the usual suspects that I need to follow to get my show prep for the day. And it upsets me that a private company has so much power over who can and can't be involved in this worldwide conversation that's going on. Politicians, world leaders are discussing things on this forum. FEMA and other emergency management departments of the government put out alerts for people's safety on there as far as natural disasters go or what have you, weather. And we are not privy to that anymore because of a political opinion. We are not, we can't get emergency information because we said something that Twitter, this company, this faceless, nameless thing, doesn't think we should get. How is that in any way right? I'm sure the legality of it can be argued as far as a First Amendment issue goes, but how can people say, well, your speech has consequences, and be happy that a company is curtailing people's freedom of speech and ability to get pertinent information? It's astounding that anybody is okay with this.
Oh, you know, not just okay with it. I think that they're doing this on purpose so that someday there'll be a national congressional hate speech law. They want this. They want, you know, some sort of big council who can back them up on suspending Trump supporters and suspending Trump, I think, himself. Although if they suspended the president, let's face it, Twitter would probably collapse. Because he's like the most interesting guy on there. Let's face it.
Yeah, Twitter, social media in general, all the mainstream media, they all depend on Donald Trump. It's really funny when you see how they just hate him, and they're so biased against him, and they would die without him. It really is an interesting thing to watch, if it wasn't so frustrating and angering at times.
And Jim Acosta whining like a little, I can't say little girl, but he's like a little girl, and he's making so much money, and everybody knows who he is now, and every other lefty journalist in that room hates him more than anybody, because they all want to be him, and they can't be him, because he sucks up all the oxygen in the room.
Right. And he knows he goes hand in hand with Trump right now. It's the coyote and the roadrunner and Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a foil. And that's exactly what he's become to Donald Trump. He's indebted to that guy.
Now, is Opie your foil now?
I guess in a way, you know, we were on the air partners 20 years, and any relationship of 20 years is going to have its bumps and ups and downs and what have you. But that one really kind of blew up at the end. We had completely different lifestyles. And I'm more of the relaxed guy. I don't care what you do, what's going on, as long as I go in 4 hours a day. I'm laughing with Jimmy Norton and some of the funniest comics ever. And it's a great time. And then Opie would come in and it would kind of be a bummer. You know, he'd be in a bad mood or something happened. His blueberries weren't right or the yogurt wasn't right. So, and I love when I tell radio guys these stories because they go, oh, my God, I've known this guy. I've met this guy somewhere else. So it was one of those things, and it just got very frustrating. And then little passive-aggressive things like, you know, I like to I like to go out and maybe have fun and tie one on occasionally at night. And if I came in and it was a few minutes after the show started and I'd sit down, he'd have to acknowledge that I just walked in on the air so the bosses would hear it.
Right.
And to me, that is not a guy thing you do. It's not a friend thing you do.
No, you're breaking the guy code doing that.
Right. That's breaking the guy code. There's no reason for it except for, you know, to have some type of power over somebody else. So that seemed to be what was happening when me and Jimmy would go off on tears and just have a great segment, and the listeners are like, wow, that was really funny. And I think Opie resented that after a while and would then use whatever he could to make an impact, which was usually getting somebody in trouble and then coming in and saving them at the end to say, look what I did. I saved your job. It's like, yeah, but you were the one going in there and telling management what a piece of garbage the person was. So a lot of that started happening, and it got very frustrating. And then once I got fired, he made no effort whatsoever to try to get me back, to maybe pull a play where it's like, well, if he's gone, I'm gone too, which I would just expect I would have done that after 20 years. So We're not getting along. If you haven't figured out from what I just said, we're not getting along very well these days.
Yeah, you know, you kind of tease that a little bit. There's a little bit of a radio tease, as they say. By the way, before I let you go, Anthony Cumia, my producer Greg Stocker, the guy laughing in the background, I want to bring him on the mic because he called your show years ago.
Yeah. Oh, wow, cool. Yeah.
You were the first person, or you were the first radio show that I called in. I called in 2000 or 2001 when you guys had Vince Neil on, and I was talking about something about him, you know, having relations with Pamela Anderson, and you guys put me on. So you guys got my start. You guys got me my start in radio. I was like, boy, I want to do this for a living.
See that?
That's great. Were you all like nervous?
I was so nervous. I was like, hey, ONA, first time, long time. You know, all the hacky cliche radio crap that you say. I said all of that.
You know what's really strange? I've been doing radio now, over 20 years. And if I have to call a radio station and I'm on hold, and then I don't know if everyone knows, but when you're on the phone, you hear like this. It's like a staticky thing when the jock picks up. I still get like butterflies and knots. And I've been doing my own show for 2 decades, and it's something primal. When you hear that, you're just like, don't screw up.
Greg, you like the book, right? You read the book?
I read the book. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing read.
Cool, man.
For any fan of radio or any fan of the life stories in it are just amazing. Well done.
I love it. Thank you, man. Thanks so much.
Yep. Yeah, awesome. Well, listen, we're glad to have you back on the show, buddy, and keep up the good work. You're a fighter for the First Amendment and freedom, and we love that about you. And I love your politics, too, because we're both Trump guys. So good stuff with that. All right, Anthony Cumia, permanently suspended. Get it everywhere. And keep up the good work in your parents' basement with the Compound Media stuff. It sounds great.
We're actually in the city now. We're at 35th in the city. We've been here like over 3 years. So the basement thing was good for the first year, but then I had to get out of the damn house. I was a mess.
All right, Anthony Cumia, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you. Take it easy.
Riccioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.